Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. So welcome everyone today to another Down and Dirty Podcast episode. And as always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. Today, I'm super excited to hear from my guest, his ideas and point of view on dating, looking inward, and divine timing in life and more. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to introduce you to our guest. His name is Matt LaBrie. He was born and raised a New Yorker who inevitably caught the hustler spirit that fills his hometown streets. A Forbes 30 Under 30 nominee, Matt has previously worked with Damon John of Shark Tank and currently hosts a top 1% globally ranked podcast, Decoding Success, which features the likes of Mel Robbins, Grant Cardone, and many others. The mission Matt has set out on is to positively impact one life daily. Well, Matt, welcome, and thank you for coming on today's show.
Celeste, thank you. I'm so grateful to be here with you, and I'm super, super excited for our conversation, and I really appreciate what you're building, putting out into the world, so I'm excited to rock with you today. Let's do it.
Awesome. Me too. I'm not quite sure how we connected on IG, but I'm very thankful for it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm glad that we continued to get to know each other here and there. And a little birdie told me that you just turned 30. So
I did.
Happy late birthday.
I appreciate it. So it was actually in October. I'm pushing 31 at this point, but yeah, very, very big milestone year. I mean, I don't feel my age, and doctors will tell you from testing I've done that I'm actually biologically 23, which is a good thing.
Amazing.
It's an amazing thing, but yeah, these are some big years.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would love to say I would love to be 31 again, but you know, that's not going to happen, but you don't act like 30. And that's kind of an interesting thing for me. And it could be, you know, your life experiences and how you grew up. And I'm sure I'll let you talk about that. But you know, when you say this hustler lifestyle, right, or this hustler kind of mentality, I understand because I lived on the East Coast, just very around the corner from you for about 10 years. So I understand the mentality of New Yorkers and, you know, the drive and the determination. But what was it that really created that for you? What was your drive and ambition to become this hustler, as you say?
My desire to want things, right? I remember so vividly, you know, growing up in Queens, we would hang out on the block, right? Like the street that you grew up on was known as the block. And I had a very good friend of mine, and this is like elementary school days. You know, on the weekends, we would get together. He went to public school, I went to private school, but on the weekends, we would get together. And if we're fortunate enough, our parents would give us money for like one pack of cards, whether it be like Pokemon cards or baseball cards or whatever we were into at the time. And I'll never forget this one instance. Both of our mothers got home at the same exact time. We lived houses away from each other, but they both pulled into their respective driveways at the same exact time, getting home from the grocery store. And it just so happened this weekend, like I was getting no money from my parents. And I was like, dude, like, let's start a restaurant. You know, like you're a creative kid. Like you're just going to come up with this idea. So lo and behold, I ransacked my mother's groceries. He ransacked his mother's groceries. We had chips and salsa, this, that, the other, whatever we had. And we went around the corner from our house and sold them. And next thing you know, of course, I got punished for that, quote unquote, punished for that. But I think seriously, like that's kind of where it started. And then, you know, growing up, I was very much so influenced by the people that had the things I wanted. Those things were True Religion jeans, a certain type of car, the girls, and of course they were all older. You know, they were older individuals, and we were hanging around each other, and you know, it was an influence. And how do you get that? Like, you have to go after it. So the hustle mentality that I referred to in a bio isn't necessarily something that, I mean, I guess it is. It's just something that was influenced, right? It was something that I was around in numerous different capacities, and it just kept leveling up throughout life, all the way to working with Damon John of Shark Tank, where you see what's possible for you and the way to get it is to go after it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how that came about, you working with Damon John.
Well, I'll tell you this, there's a lot in between. I failed tremendously in numerous areas of life, right? And I want to paint this picture before telling that story.
Sure.
Because it wasn't like I snapped my finger and I was working with him. I mean, I'll work backwards, right? I failed out of college. I watched my mother battle cancer. I got kicked out of two high schools. I didn't get accepted into any high schools. I was arrested my senior year of high school. I lost my dream of playing professional sports after I tore both the labrums in my shoulder. So like, life wasn't just peaches and cream, but I was pretty much numb throughout all of those experiences. And I had, as we all do, awakening moments. And one of my awakening moments really helped me come to the realization that I have been blessed tremendously with numerous opportunities. And when I finally got myself back in college to go and get my 4-year degree after, you know, trials and tribulations, I realized that the school I had went to and the students that attend said school, just, they didn't have what I had. And I said, you know what, how can I bring about these opportunities? So I took on numerous student leadership roles, all of which had led me to receiving a call during my quote unquote junior year, because I was on the 7-year plan, by the way, that didn't get me a doctorate degree. And I received a phone call as I was on spring break in Dominican Republic during my quote unquote junior year. And the woman on the other end of the line said, Matt, do you want to meet Damon John? Now I'm saying to myself, why the hell are they calling me? Like, Verizon's going to charge me, because back in the day, you didn't have those roaming plans or whatever. I'm like, I know I paid my damn tuition, because after I failed out, my parents cut me off. So like, I had to do it myself. And she had asked me that question. He was coming to our college campus to do some sort of like fireside chat, right, for a book that he was releasing. And I was one of three students to meet him. And we were the absolute last people in the green room before he went on stage to shake his hand. I was actually the last, and I'm 6'5". He's about 5 foot something. And I shook his hand and he looked at me and he goes, what the hell do they teach you here? How to break people's hands? So it was kind of good vibes off the bat, although, you know, some people might interpret that differently. And we had a 5-minute conversation. And by the end of it, I said, Damon, I'm going to work for you. He looked at me like I had 10 heads, and I know I have a big head, but like, I don't have 10 of them. So he went on stage, he did his fireside chat. I had brought my mentor who wasn't a student, and we were sitting in different parts of the theater. And at the end of it, we came together in the middle of the theater. We thought we were the last two people to leave. And out of my peripheral vision, I'll never forget it, it was out of my left eye, I saw Santa Claus, or at least someone that looked like Santa Claus, walking up the stairs to exit the theater. And I said to my mentor, one of my best friends, his name's Phil, I said, Phil, who is that guy? He looks so familiar. And at the time, Phil was essentially spearheading a business that we all ran together, which was in New York City hospitality. And he goes, oh, that's George. We worked with him on said whatever event it was. Lo and behold, to wrap this all up, George worked with Damon. And this is where things came full circle for me. So George got me back in the green room, which didn't necessarily get me anywhere with Damon outside of just getting another picture. But 3 months after that, I was interning with Damon. I turned that internship that I did for a full year into a job. And then I turned that job into being interviewed by Damon on his show. So it was, you know, a series of events, and that drastically changed my life for the better.
That's incredible. You had a crystal clear vision. And this is what I tell my clients with just, you know, dating, for example, but it's like, the more clear you are on what it is that you want, the universe, however, God, whatever your beliefs, like, find a way to make it happen. And
absolutely,
that's just incredible. What a cool story.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, like I said, it drastically changed my life, because, you know, just, I've never been around someone that's worth as much money as him. And it's not even about the money, but someone that has had the experiences that he's had, right? Like both of my parents are very successful in their careers and I take nothing away from them for that. Mm-hmm. They both do a very, very good job. In fact, like I always give kudos to my mom. I mean, she didn't even go to college and she's president of a freaking the largest bank in the world by GDP. Like she's crushed it, but she doesn't necessarily have the experiences that Damon had. And it's not to compare. So right. Just being in proximity of him for 3+ years as an intern, an employee, this, that, the other, like it really shows you what's possible for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And it's such a beautiful thing. It drastically, drastically helped revolutionize, you know, my path and helped me, you know, forge my own way.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you did this at what age, can I ask?
Good question. So this was in my mid-20s. I mean,
wow.
From 17 to 24, I was in hospitality. And that is what essentially pulled me away from school, right? Just growing up and going to private school your whole life, like no one's called. Well, actually, I'm backtracking. They'll call mommy and daddy if you miss, like, if you don't go to school. So that only happened to me once my senior year. And then when I went to college, there's no one calling mommy and daddy if you're not going to class. And I mean, I was so trigger happy with that. Like I was pulling that trigger. Oh, it's 8 a.m. Class starts at 9. I'm not sitting in traffic on the LIE today. Like I'm just going to stay in bed. Lo and behold, you eventually fail. But I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm making all this money. I'm very grateful. We were working with people like from the Jersey Shore cast, you know, hip hop artists, this, that, the other. I thought I was on top of the world. And then the business started to change and I started to change. And, you know, then transitioning into working with Damon had to have been around 25. Yeah. So probably from like 25 to 28-ish or 24 to 27, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Well, I only asked just because at such a young age, you were exposed to such, you know, like you said, someone that was so experienced in business and a mentor. And yes, you worked for him. I'm sure you learned such, you know, huge amounts of things that you can bring into your now business and even your podcast now. So that's pretty amazing.
I appreciate it.
So you were in hospitality before Damon, but like, after Damon, did you start the podcast right away?
Exactly. So I'll be very transparent. I had left my job with him prematurely,
okay.
Right? For numerous reasons, right? And I didn't know this back then, but one of them is because my core wound of just feeling neglected at points was being struck. And it came down to seeking a promotion and I was scared of conflict. So it led me to just quit. And I did so respectfully, of course, and I'm very good friends with essentially his whole team still and him to this day. But after that, I had no plan, which is something I don't suggest anyone ever does. The only thing on my calendar after working with Damon was a Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within event, a speaking engagement in Jackson, Mississippi, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And I had nothing else planned. So long story short, I had an intern at the time who was always nudging me. And he then became a coworker. His name is Matt, still a very good friend to this day. And he would be like, Matt, you need to start a podcast. I'm like, dude, when the hell do I have time for a podcast? Like, do you not see me in the office with you 5 days a week, sometimes six, because I was working on Saturdays as well. And he was like, dude, you need to do it. So when I had quit my job, I'm like, you know what? I think it's a good time to start a podcast. So that's when the podcast launched right after that opportunity. And that once again changed my life.
Now, did you start that by yourself? Because I know you have two other co-hosts. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. So I do what's called a round table. We do these round tables where, you know, just my buddies, like, and I'm very grateful. Like I had mentioned earlier, I've been influenced by people that, by many people. And I always found myself hanging out with people that are older than me. Mm-hmm. Every single person I hang out with or resonate with is older than me. And it's not to say that I don't resonate with people that are younger or my age, but like the people that I'm most drawn to are older. So one of my best friends is 38 or 39. That's a 9-year gap or an 8-year gap. Another is 34. Another's 34. Another's 36, right? So there's these large age gaps and I bring them onto the show and do these roundtable episodes where, you know, we're in our studio and we just chop it up. We have a really good time doing it. And we like to show as four men the importance of just being vulnerable, not being vulnerable to be rewarded, which is something men in society do today. I'm guilty of that. I have done that many times over, but just to be open, right? And to show people the importance of that. But outside of it, I've really just launched the podcast by myself. And I think today is 275 episodes. So
awesome.
We've been rocking and rolling.
I appreciate it. That's big. You know, I've hit my year mark, but now I'm doing.
Congrats on 1 year.
Thank you. About 8 months in, I decided to start launching every week. And I was doing every other week in the beginning and just kind of like, I had no idea. Nobody taught me how to do anything. So I'm still making mistakes.
You're telling me you didn't take podcasting in high school?
Definitely not. Right? I don't think that existed when I was in high school. So
no, I'm only messing around. Like this is, yeah, like I totally get it. It's something that we're not taught, right? And it's something that we figure out. But I know from listening to your show that I could tell your energy behind it and that you love it and you make an impact with your work, right? That's one of the most beautiful things. So I'm glad to hear that you're chugging along with it. And you know, we figure it out as we go. Like no one knows all of the secrets, you know, and if we do, we share them. So
right.
That's it.
But yeah, you know, on my intake form, I always ask, is there two or three questions that maybe it's something that you want to talk about? And I thought what you asked on here or what your answer was actually pretty fascinating. So I'm going to share them with everybody here and I'm going to ask
you. I don't even remember what I wrote.
That's okay. So. It's okay. So I would love to hear your thoughts on what it means by you saying when you turn inward, it shifts your dating and or love life.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to get emotional. I almost cried as you asked that. Yeah. Before 2020, love looked a certain way to me, right? Love to me, not necessarily consciously, but you know, unconsciously or subconsciously was neglect, rejection, etc. And that sounds weird to say, like how could neglect and rejection and this, that, and the other be love? But that's what love was for me growing up, right? So that's what was modeled to me by my mother. I vividly remember her, and these are elementary school days, like I vividly have memories of her rejecting me with words. And that was very painful. So I align that with, you know, how I was to be treated. So in 2020, through the pandemic, I was dating this incredible woman. She's still incredible, even though it didn't work out. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm throwing shade, but she did exactly what my mother did to me. She neglected me. She rejected me. And I was attracted to that until I realized what it was doing to my nervous system. And it was making me feel uneasy. It was bringing about anxiety. And I'm like, why do I have anxiousness in this relationship? So at the time I'm like, oh, maybe I'm the problem. And it's not to say anyone was the problem, but I had to put myself in therapy. I was just like, what is going on? And it was a really brave and courageous decision. And truthfully, I don't even know where it came from. Like, I don't know why I had opted for therapy, but I did. And one session, two session, three sessions, seven sessions, 10 sessions in, you start to realize your patterns with someone that has honestly no stake in your life or no stake in the relationship, just being an unbiased voice or soundboard or whatever the case may be. And then I realized, like, hey, I'm not being treated right. So the more I turned inward and the more that I realized the patterns, the more that I realized, you know, just how I was brought up, it really revolutionized the way I view love, the way that I view dating, the way that I view a potential partner. And while said person might have checked all of the boxes on my list, which is probably somewhere behind this screen right now, you know, there were things that needed to be added, right? So the more I turn inward, the more I don't even tolerate being ignored or being this, or like, it's just an instant turn off for me. Mm-hmm. So the more I turn inward, the more it aligns me to, you know, and all of us, not just me, like the more we turn inward, the more it aligns us with what is actually meant for us at our core.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you for sharing that. I know that as even in some of my relationships, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was like my father. It's where we mirror our relationships before we know that they're not healthy is, you know, something that our parents did. And it's comfortable. It's like what we knew, and it's not necessarily what we need. And so you obviously were like, oh, well, this is familiar, right?
Familiar. Yep.
This
exactly.
this is what is resonating with me, so it must be right. And then when you have that terrible feeling of anxiousness and knowing that this is, something's not right, something is off. And then the fact that you went to therapy, yes, mucho kudos, because it is tough. It is a really hard place to be. It's a lot of work, but once you go through it, oof, then no other relationship, like you said, will ever,
exactly,
will never tolerate that anymore.
100%. It's funny because, you know, you need some time after a breakup, and I'll be fully transparent. While I started that inward journey in June of 2020, it took me numerous months to like break that relationship off. You know, it's not something that, you know, you go to therapy once, you have this massive realization, and then you're like, you know what, get out of my life. It wasn't like that. You know, there were steps, there were tiny steps. And after that, definitely needed some time. But when I felt ready again to start pursuing another relationship, there was a really big red flag. And to me, that red flag was just being ignored at times. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like that. I understand we're all busy, but you could tell when someone's busy and when someone's ignoring you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I have to get rid of this, you know? So yes, we've had many successful dates and both would agree to that. But any sense of rejection, if there's no explanation, if there's no communication, if there's like, it's just not for me. So it's really cool to be able to look back and to even talk about it openly like this and realize the shifts that have been made, because that's growth, right?
Definitely. Yeah. You've gone through a lot of growth in the last, 5-7 years, personally, professionally. So you're just better, in a better place. You're going to find that. I mean, are you in a relationship now? Can I ask?
I'm not, but you know what's funny? And I'll openly admit this. I have a FaceTime date with a girl that I've known for many years, and she's currently in Philadelphia, but moving back to New York in June. I actually have that tonight. I said this to a buddy, you know, I think men, and I'm sure women do this too, you know, we can categorize people in numerous different ways, right? We can categorize someone as, we're not interested at all. So like, they're automatically ruled out. That's one bucket. Another bucket is kind of interested, maybe just a hookup, right? Mm-hmm. That's another bucket. And then there's the last bucket, which is interested, we'll take them serious. And it's been a rarity for me personally to find someone that I'm willing to take serious that specifically is within my geographic location. Mm-hmm. I oftentimes find women that are, I don't know, in freaking Lisbon, Portugal. And I'm like, well, I'm in New York. This isn't going to work out.
It's not going to work.
You know, but this one, I mean, it's definitely someone that I see falls into that serious bucket. So we'll see what happens. I've been single for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. I've been very, very focused on myself because there are some things that I'm working on internally that I think are important for me to have, not necessarily solidified, but, you know, getting them to a certain point, which would allow a woman to feel secure, safe, et cetera, with me versus, you know, just being like ungrounded and all over the place. So we'll see what happens tonight though. It could be the start of something here.
Okay. I hope all of you guys are hearing this because you are so emotional mature for your age. And I have to say, possibly just in general, you are, as a man, like just being able to own your feelings and be comfortable with it. And I think women are so much more attracted to that than someone just closing off and shutting down and like, oh, I can't feel, I can't show it. And it's like, no, that is like the most beautiful thing, even as a human, forget about man and woman, but being able to have the safe space to talk about your feelings and to talk about things that you're going through is huge. And I just have to say, like, I'm so happy that there's men out there like you, because this is what I do. Seriously, I want them to be able, and women too. I'm not saying we're all perfect, but this is just in general, when two people come together, you said something so poignant, because you said, I'm not 100% solidified, but you're working towards that. And someone, a couple really very smart women who are educated in the relationship field have told me that the 100% comes when you meet your match.
Mm. Yeah. So. No, I get that for sure. I think, you know, one question that I've started to ask myself is, would I date myself? Mm. Right. Or on the flip side, if I had a daughter, would I let my daughter date me right now? Right. And I would be honest, like, to an extent, the answer is yes, but it's not a 100% yes, you know? So, I mean, and I hate to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I hate to, I don't want to say the word judge or measure things in such a way, but I know for me personally, like, knowing who I am, like, we all know who we are. It's not just what we put out into the world, but like, who are you really? Like, that's a really important question too. At numerous points throughout 2022, or probably all of 2022 and into 2023, the answer was no, I wouldn't date myself. So just having that honesty, like, all right, cool, you wouldn't date yourself. So then why would you intentionally hurt someone, right? Because if you're not willing to date yourself at this moment, yeah, you could, you know, put on a little bit of a front and get what you want from someone. And is that what you really want to do? To walk away and harm someone else and keep this continuous cycle of hurt people in this world? You know, I would prefer not to contribute to that and just totally, you know, just focus inward. And then when it comes, it comes.
Well, I think it is important to actually date yourself. And I mean this in like the best way, right? I mean, in probably every way. And I really mean this like sexually too. I mean, get comfortable with what you like, because, you know, that could be an issue if, you know, everything could be great. And then there could be something along those lines. So knowing who you are, what your values are, what your beliefs are, your life goals, those are really the three big areas where you should have similarities with your match or your partner, whoever you want to call her. Him, her, whatever, you know, but so that when you do, when you are looking for that, those things align. Your hobbies, your friends, they can all be different. I mean, that's not something you have to have in common. It's like, you don't have to have all of these things, but I will say, I hope you have written down like three major deal breakers. I don't mean red flags. I mean like hard no's.
Yeah. I could potentially show it to you, but I'm going to have to step away from them. I have a list. I've read this book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's a very popular book. I'm sure you might've read it too.
Yes.
And within it, there was a story that, and don't quote me on it, because I definitely don't remember the verbatim. This was years ago, but essentially like creating a list of what you want in your partner, creating a list of what you want in your business, creating a list of what you want in your career, etc. So I took that to heart and I was like, you know what? I'm going to create that list. And on that list are non-negotiables, which is what you're getting at, like things that, you know, I absolutely need. And I think I've done this list twice now where I, you know, of course it's going to change, you know, after a relationship, you're like, all right, that didn't work out. I need to add X, Y, and Z to this list, which I've done. And the interesting thing that I learned recently is that while that list is important of non-negotiables and just things that you would like in your partner, what's equally as important is knowing what's on your desired partner's list and becoming that list. And that's the process I'm in right now, right? Like ensuring that I'm becoming what's on my desired partner's list. And whoever's listening to this might rebuttal and be like, well, how would you know that? Well, I mean, you kind of do just based off of what you're looking for, right? If I am, you know, I don't even know examples, like not taking care of my health, not in the gym, not this or that. Well, let's be realistic. It would be hard for a person that's not doing what they need to do from a health perspective to expect a partner that's, you know, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, right? Like it just doesn't align or match. So yeah, I love exercises like that and they're eye-opening.
Well, I will say you're becoming a high value man in every aspect of your life. And one of those is like, obviously self-care, taking care of yourself, but please, please, please never try to understand what another woman wants or values, because I can tell you that we all want something different. We hopefully all want a high value man, but that does not mean that I'm just say I'm the right person for you. Right. So never, 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 never go into a relationship without all of your things being met. And you should, because the more you're sure about that, the more clear you are, forget about her list. Please forget about her list. You will attract your Miss Right. You will attract your woman.
So you're saying not to focus on the list at all, like the list that she would have for her partner?
Definitely no. Definitely
interesting.
Not. It's like you are doing everything proper and right and inward and knowing what you want for your life and your goals and whatever. And with that, you will attract your person.
Interesting. No, I appreciate that perspective. This is why I like conversations like this, because it expands horizons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was actually Elena Cardone who had shared that. She was like, hey, like, you know, we were talking about the quote unquote list. And I was like, you know what? It might be a cool exercise, but I appreciate that. It's definitely something to keep in mind.
I just don't want you to take away from you, because this is all that's all that's important. And I promise, like, you know, I hope it's her and Philly, you know, but if not, it's not Philly girl, it's someone else, you know, you've got it all going on. So just know that, like, if you've got it, your confidence will, you know, it will shine, it will show, and your person will be attracted to you, and it's all going to work out. So
absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. Do you have any dating obstacles or struggles that you found, or as you really haven't dated since that relationship ended after, like, you know, kind of re.
Yeah. So I dated again in 2021, which was a year after it had ended, about a year after it had ended. And I felt very comfortable dating at that point, but I definitely still had ego in the driver's seat. So I think something that I run into, and it's funny, this was said to me once, and this was years ago. This was back in, I think, December of 2019. I was a very different person back then, right? This is also pre-therapy. I had a woman say to me, Matt, you were my Superman. What happened? And she said that because I started to become vulnerable. Like, the deeper you're in a relationship, the more that's revealed, right? Like, you start letting your guard down and whatnot. After that, I've definitely, I don't know if it's a struggle or just something that I'm more conscious of, is balancing the amount of vulnerability based on timeline. So for example, on the first date, I'm not going in and spewing, like, you know, childhood shit. Like,
thank you. Just,
you know, I'm not like that. I don't do that. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's a little tricky, you know, because I felt in that moment very judged. Like, for a woman to say, you were my Superman, what happened? Like, that really hurts. And, you know, that's, you know, potentially on her too, in a way. But that's part of the reason I think men aren't necessarily vulnerable. Granted, I haven't let that stop me, but I've definitely found it to be a tricky situation as to, like, how much you reveal in said amount of time, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I feel that if you're meeting the right woman, she's not going to judge you.
Agreed.
I also feel that, like I've always said, the first couple dates, definitely a first date, just have fun. See if there's any chemistry. See if there's anything. Don't talk about anything too heavy. But there's a time when you're like, okay, this is date number three. Maybe I'll ask a little bit more personal questions. And if she reacts in something in a way that is, you know, very negative or whatever, that's not for you. That she's not
sure.
For you.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of masculine women nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I'm one of them, but I'm learning to let go of that when it comes to dating, because two masculines is competitiveness. So you can't have that. There's got to be the dance, right? There's got to be that feminine energy and masculine. And it could be in either gender. That's just the energy. I think when you have the right person in front of you, you can share and be vulnerable and share your stories, because I think that's really who you are, right?
That makes you. 100%. I actually just said to a buddy today via voice note, I said to him, like, hey man, you know, one thing I've noticed about myself, and I literally see this with all of my friends, specifically guys.
Okay.
They are very, what's the word? They're like, they're kind of like walking a tightrope when it comes to playing the game, especially in the early stages of dating, playing the game and just like being who they want to be. And I said to a buddy, this was last night, actually, I said to him, I'm like, dude, like, I understand like a little bit of game, like might like help you get what you want. I was like, with this girl that I'm referring to in regards to the FaceTime date, I was like, dude, if I want to text her, I text her. Like, she's answering me. Like, why not just text her? You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm just done with any sort of game. And I literally said to him, like, if it turns her off, if she's not interested, that's fine, you know, but I'm just like totally done with, should I text her? Should I not? Right. I see that with my friends. Yeah. And I'm one of them at times too, just like very much so operating from in our head versus in our heart. And I'm trying my best to just operate from my heart, right? Like if it's on my mind and it's on my heart, you want to send a text. Who cares? It might take her a little while to answer. It might not. But I think that was a really, really big thing, especially in my friend group. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times we're talking and it's just like, dude, you know the answer. Do what you want to do versus, you know, I need to wait 3 hours to reply to make it look like, you know, I'm busy and not totally a turnoff for me. So
mm-hmm. Yay. I'm so excited for you. And I'm very proud because that, like, seriously, it's like, I think getting over it, like, no woman wants the game. We don't. Yeah. I mean, we like a little mystery. Don't share, overshare too fast. Let us get to know you, right? It's the, if you will, the game, it's a process, right? Mm-hmm. It's a process of getting to know somebody. But the game, like, no, we don't want that. That's not what we're looking for. So as soon as they can kind of get over that and just go with the right pace. And I think what you're saying is like, what's the right pace, right? What is,
yeah, absolutely.
It's I think it's individual, but look, if she's like, you don't want it to be also in the first couple of dates, like an interview. It's not, it's not an interview. So, you know, so I know it's a process for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm excited for you. So hopefully you'll tell me later if it went
I'm
well.
I'm going to have to report back. I'm going to have to give you my report.
I love it. Okay. So one of the other ones, because I really thought this would be exciting for the audience to hear, is the question was, you said how to trust the divine timing for your life. You know, so could you elaborate on what that means to you?
Oh, yeah. I'm still working on this. I'll give you a perfect example. Real life example just happened to me this weekend. As mentioned, the majority of my friend group is older than me, mm-hmm. right? 34, 36, 38, 30, whatever. I was at a communion party for one of my best friends, or two of my best friends who married each other, their daughter. She made her first Holy Communion, and I'm there and having a good time, you know, just a lot of beautiful women were there, by the way. And a lot of beautiful women are there with their significant others and their babies and this. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, it kind of hit me. And this has happened to me in numerous different regards, right? I go to a wedding, and a lot of weddings these days don't give a plus one. So you're there single, and it just so happens a lot of the weddings I attend, there's not really any single women there. There's just like everyone's a couple, and you're just looking and you're comparing yourself. So literally just this weekend it happened to me, and I said, shit, like, it kind of makes you feel some type of way, you know. And it's hard, or not necessarily hard, but it's challenging at times to just trust that things are happening in the timing in which they need to be happening for you, you know. And I've definitely been the type of person that has tried to speed up timelines, because that's just how I was brought up in New York. You know, you go after what you want versus, you know, attracting it. Which has been a shift to make in life, but divine timing is exactly that. And it's not easy to keep in mind or to buy into that belief in the moment until you actually get what you want. And you're like, you know what? I'm glad I ended up with this person versus that person, looking back on life, you know? So divine timing is everything, though. It's not even just dating. It's literally across the board.
Right, right. No, and like you said, you know, you can be in a relationship if you want to, but you know that person is not for you.
Exactly, exactly. And so, I think a lot of people would choose that relationship too, right? Just for the sake of familiar, how do you say that word? For being familiar. There you go. I can never say that one. I don't know why. For the sake of feelings of familiarness, which might not be a word.
Whatever.
Yeah, people definitely make that choice. I'm trying my best not to.
Well, it's just a little glimpse of my life. I've done this for 15 years, but kind of put it on hold, like had clients here and there, but kind of rebranded like a year and a half ago. And like, this is it. I'm 46. I'm not that young. So it's
you
like,
don't look 46. And I'm not saying that to say it. Like, you really, really don't whatsoever.
Thank you. Thank you. Good genes. And I work hard at not looking 46. But, you know, I should have had my life, you know, together after college. Why didn't I go to law school? Why did I, you know, it took all these different turns, but nothing was ever like, I knew that in my career, I wanted to feel like ultimate joy, ultimate like love of what I wanted to do. And I was trying all different things and nothing was really like, and I'm like, am I being too picky? You know? So it's like, but no, now that I like truly know I'm in my place, I know that I'm making a difference. I know that like what I do makes other people happy and succeed, that makes me happy. So just as like in dating for you. And it's like, I love that you've recreated that list.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
You have to. I remember so vividly when I started to, I was exiting that relationship, which was essentially toxic, right? And I think toxic relationships aren't just one-sided. Like you contribute to that toxicity too. And I vividly remember I was in my backyard. I was doing renovations in the space that I'm currently in. And I was like sawing wood, which by the way, I'm not handy. So if any woman is listening to this, please don't think I'm handy.
Where's your tool belt?
Yeah, I literally remember at one moment just taking my phone out and putting, you know, just starting to note things that were on my mind that I needed to add to the list. I honestly wish I had it because I would tell you what those things are, but I'll send it to you right after this. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, what are just three?
You're going to make me get the list. Hold on. We're doing this right now. So I keep it inside the book so that I know where it always is.
And that's a good idea.
There we go. This was a project to get, but we got it. Chicken soup for the soul. I keep it right in the front. So this was written, well, let's see. I have three. Oh, no, this is my obituary. Have you ever written your obituary?
No, but I probably should. I'm not dying anytime soon. I hope.
No, you're not. You are not.
But that's okay. That's interesting. Okay, we'll have to talk about that later.
I don't know when this one was made. This was the first one I did. It has 50 points, right? Yes. Not all are non-negotiable. But it has 50 points. And then this one, which I did at the end of that last relationship, which was done. So I guess I kind of need to do it again. It was done on 12/31/20. So December 31st of 2020. And this time I actually put non-negotiables. I don't know if you could even see that, but
I can.
So I'll be honest. My first one, non-negotiable, indeniable beauty from head to toe. Like, I want to be attracted to my partner. Like, that's number one for me. Like, if I'm... Go ahead. Comment. I know you want to comment.
I do. I'm sorry. Okay. I want you to be really, really specific with that. The more clear you are with that, because that's just like, ooh, I mean, beauty to you. Yes. But what does beauty to you mean? What, like, be really specific. Like, I mean, you can even do it to like the color of her eyes. Like, I mean, what does beauty look like to you? What is...
So I don't want to sound like a man whore when I say this, but
a
lot of women are beautiful to me.
Uh-huh.
I do have other characteristics that are physical that would potentially fall into that. Like I have like 5'5" to 5'8", you know, like little things like that. I do have throughout this list, but
okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like, you know, the clearer you are, I promise you'll be like, poof. You'd be like, what?
So I'll tell you some of the things that I added. Okay. A woman who thoroughly thinks before she speaks potentially harmful and hurtful words. The reason I share that is because in that relationship, there were things said to me that I didn't necessarily take personal, but they were very hurtful. Mm. I'll give you an example. This was during the pandemic, so keep that in mind. I wanted to just have like a quick little getaway with her. Like, a lot of things here in New York City were shut down. And we were driving to go get like acai bowls. I literally remember this vividly. And I said, I like looked over at her as I was driving. And I had said to her, I was like, hey, like, her birthday was coming up. I'm like, would you want to go up to Connecticut where like there was a such thing as outdoor dining? We didn't even have that in New York at the time. So I was like, would you want to go up to Connecticut? We'll spend the weekend on the water. And she did hesitate. She hesitated. And I was like, what were you going to say? And then she said, why would I, this is literally what she said. She goes, why would I want to go spend the weekend on the water when I live on the water? And I was, she actually, her parents had a really beautiful home. And I was like, wow, like that was just harmful and hurtful. Like you have a guy that you're dating that is wanting to put in that effort to just take you away for the weekend to have a good time, have some dinners, which we really weren't able to do for, you know, a pretty large portion of our dating tenure. So, you know, just little things like that. And I can give you more, which I'm going to give you off the call because one was intimate and I don't want to share that publicly.
No, it's okay.
And then a third one I wrote down, I'm just going to pick a random one.
Okay.
Number 54, a woman who has the desire to show physical emotional connection to me without me having to continuously initiate.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
That's important to me. Like you, I want to feel loved. You know, like I don't want to be. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that, you know, I definitely didn't feel that. That's like another form of like neglect or rejection, you know? So those were three. I can keep giving them to you, but.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. No, I like that.
Of course.
Those are important. Those. And I think like every relationship is like, oh, it was a failure. It's not a failure. It's a learning lesson, right? You know what you want and you know what you don't want. And so but getting like really clear on those sentences, and maybe you'll take off three by, you know, that first one just by like adding in some things, but also know that the more clear you are, like I said, the better, but know that it might not be like 100%.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's one of the most beautiful things of life. I just said this the other day. I've had a goal of moving my podcast into a studio forever, but every time I'm doing like some sort of visionary exercise, like mentally where I'm like envisioning this, it's always my own studio that I own and it's an office and it has a studio, this, that, the other, but it's been actualized in my life by just renting a studio too. Right. So it's not necessarily something that I envisioned like to the exact T. And this is a totally different example, but I'm 100% on board. Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. Like, I think it's so important to realize how things actualize in life that we do desire, but they come in different capacities that are very much so aligned with what it is that we do want.
Yeah, completely. I think being open, right? That's the other thing is 100%. Not being so like, okay, tunnel vision. This is exactly how things have to play out for it to be successful.
Yeah.
So you just said that. That's great. Okay. I have one last question because I know we're running out of time here. What was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
Wow. One of my favorite dates. So I don't want this to paint a certain picture, but one of my favorite dates was a rooftop. We started at a rooftop here in New York City, or specifically in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, for clarity. It's called Westlight. And it's like my go-to spot. Oftentimes my friends joke with me and they tell me that I pay the rent there. That's how often I go. So it's gorgeous though. It's at the top of a hotel.
The water tower.
That's the Williamsburg Hotel. That's actually across the street.
Okay. I was just there a few, last June. So, okay.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. It's beautiful there. It's absolutely beautiful. Both of those locations are gorgeous.
Okay.
So,
fabulous.
Yeah. We're at the top of Westlight and we walk in. I'm just going to paint the whole picture. I literally felt like the man because I go there so often. I walk in and I saw the bartender. I really had to use the restroom. So I had left my date at the bar and I said, hey, I'm just going to use the restroom really quickly. I forget the bartender's name. I was like, he's going to take care of you. Order whatever you want. So I come back from the restroom and she has 8 glasses of wine lined up and he was letting her do a wine tasting.
That's awesome.
So I literally, I just felt like the man in that moment. And I'll also admit this. When I really feel like a woman falls within the bucket of, hey, like this is someone that I'll take serious, I go hard. So the day before our date, we had a Monday night date. I'll never forget. I was like, wow, a Monday night date. Okay. I guess I need to build up for the weekend dates. So on Sunday, I had gone to Westlight and I literally asked, hey, are you working? Everyone that I knew there, I had asked if they were working. I said, hey, I'm coming here with a date tomorrow. Like I let it be known. And then next thing you know, she has a flight of wine that she's tasting. So we started there. We actually closed the place down with them and we ended up at another bar. I never do food on the first date. Never, ever do food just in case things are awkward and you need to get out of there. I've learned not to do food. So we went to another bar, not nearly as nice, but you know, we were just enjoying a couple of drinks and we ended up staying out until 3 a.m. We started bowling at 1 a.m.
That's so fun.
And I don't know how you feel about this. I'm very curious, but I don't let women win in games. The reason I say that is because I've had women tell me straight up that they think that's unattractive. But obviously this is your profession. So I'm very curious to hear what you have to say in that. So it was 1 a.m. and I bowled a 200, which is 100 less than a
wow.
perfect game.
And
I'm not that good of a bowler, by the way. I played baseball and basketball. I was not
a bowler.
It's
all the alcohol.
Yeah, it aligned my vision because I don't have 20/20. That's for sure. But yeah, that was probably the best date I've ever had. It was like really, really good.
That sounds like an amazing date. Yeah. Well, I think you were very confident in this date. You felt, like you said, the man, right? And you were.
Yeah.
And everything aligned well, and you made it so. And yeah, you had fun.
Absolutely. I'm curious to get your take very quickly. I know we're running out of time, but your take on men letting women win in things.
Oh, right. Yeah, you said that. I think we can all compete on the same level.
I agree. I was one person in the past where I was like, oh, you know, do the right thing. You're playing mini golf, like let her win. And then I'm like, you know what? Who am I letting win? Like,
right.
I don't let anyone win. Like, I want everyone to win. But if it's a game where me or you win, like, I'm going to win.
I love it. It's
you
fun.
Know? Yeah.
A little competition is fun. Like, it's
absolutely.
It's clearly you're not like competing for, you know, who's right in this relationship, something big.
No,
like that.
No,
so
it's
this
more
is just,
fun.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, this is a very deep conversation, which might be for another time, but I think that builds up in other areas of life, right? Like she sees that you're taking control, and this is just the way that I view it. Like she sees that you're taking control, like you're not backing down. I think that really shows like a certain type of energy. Mm-hmm. And while she might be trying to match that energy, I think just winning puts her in a, you know, the energy that she needs to be in. And it translates, right? It translates into intimacy in different forms and a whole bunch of other things. So
it does. It shows who you are as a person. So, and I think most women want a man, and that's definitely, no, I think you're fine. It's not like you're like, you know, rubbing it in her face.
Oh, no, no, I would never do that. No.
No. It's fun. It's fine. You're all going. Yeah. So don't ever do that. She might win. You might win. Who cares?
Yeah. I would be so glad if I lost. Like I would be so, so happy if I lost, which was potentially possible, especially that night. But no, I appreciate your perspective.
Awesome. I love it. Well, I know that I have all of your info for your socials, but I would love for you to share here. You've got to go listen to Decoding Success, and it's on all platforms.
Yeah, we're on all major platforms. Like I said, like 275, I think today was 275 episodes.
How many years?
Five.
Five. Awesome.
December of 2018 was when we launched.
Wow.
So it'll be 5 years this December. I'm even thinking about doing like a little 5-year party. We'll see what happens. I've done a party in the past, which was for 200 episodes, which we released with Margaret Josephs from the New Jersey Housewives. And we had a really good time. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, 5 years. 5 years. We're everywhere.
Congratulations. And where can people find you if they want to learn anything more about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty for being on Instagram and social media more than I should be. So I think Instagram is the place that I hang out the most. My Instagram handle's at @MATT_LEBRIS, which is just my name, @Matt_Labrie.
Perfect. Well, Matt, again, thank you for jumping on and sharing your journey and life story. And I can't wait to have this out for everybody to listen. So
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Celeste. I love what you're doing, and I'm super, super grateful for this.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram @CelesteMooreImage. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, CelesteMoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.